You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
St John Ambulance Professionals have released an open letter to the public asking for their support in their protests. So I spoke to Sarah Stone, Ambulance Coordinator at First Union, about what further action ambulance professionals will be taking on February 9th. I started by asking her about what it is like to be an ambulance professional.
It's extremely stressful, I think, for most of your shift. There's people who work on the front line who face all the pressure of dealing with people in a crisis mode or dealing with people who are upset or lonely or afraid in their own homes. And then there's people who work in the dispatch centre who are taking the calls from extremely stressed people. There's people who work as medics on the helicopter service, on the helicopter rescue service, which brings its own difficulties.
What do you think are the main struggles that ambulance professionals are facing in their daily life?
Well, right now in their daily life, they're facing a financial struggle. We're losing people from the service because they literally can't survive on the wages that St John are paying.
What do you think the effect of that has been on ambulance professionals functioning as a cohesive service?
I think the issue on the pressure that then goes back onto the service is you might have a higher sick rate for workers, you might have people who are running another business on the side, or that they're trying to make ends meet, or that they're looking to change their career and ways to change their career so that they can support their families. And, you know, I don't know how much of an effect that has on them when they're on the road. I think when they're on the road, they're extremely professional and slow, but as a whole service, I think we're becoming increasingly difficult.
Okay, so do you think that ambulance professionals are not receiving enough recognition for the work that they're doing for New Zealand at large?
I definitely think that, and I'm really at a loss as to understand why St John don't value them in the way that the public do. They don't get paid for night work, they don't get paid for weekend work, and at the moment they also don't get paid for their qualifications. So you can have a worker who's employed at the very lowest rate, a base rate of about $19 an hour, but they could be a qualified paramedic. They're required to practice as St John have instructed them to practice as a paramedic, even though they might only be employed at that lower rate in that assistant role. And that's some of the claims that we're completely stuck on across the bargaining table.
Okay, so why do you think they're being paid so lowly? Do you think there's a historical reason why that might be?
I think there is. I think there's a historical reason where the organisation hasn't budgeted sufficiently for decent pay rise. And so what you're left with is an erosion over the last 20 years, 10, 20 years, where each time the pay rises have been so low that it's had a cumulative effect of where we are today, where people can't survive on those wages.
But what was the aim of the partial strike that the ambulance professionals began in early December?
The aim is to try and get our message heard by St John. We've been at the bargaining table with them either within bargaining or within mediated bargaining since September. So we must have met on, perhaps 14 days of bargaining. And that there has been some progress, but not a big enough financial progress. And so we started some actions last year so that we can try and put more pressure on the organisation to really listen and respond to what we're saying.
Why do you think St John is so reluctant to provide funding for ambulance professionals?
I think they have. I mean, that's a question for St John, which is extremely interesting, is that they won't talk to the media and they won't explain why. The reason that we get is they say, we just don't have money in the budget for it, and the CEO told us last year that he just didn't budget for a pay rise for his workers. We think that the pressure might be coming from the Priory Trust Board. We've written to the Trust Board today about the actions and to say that we're worried that the actions are continuing. So the bargaining team made up of workers from St John wrote to the Trust Board and said, we'd like you to intervene, we'd like you to help us and support us in this dispute and find a way forward. And they just haven't responded at all. For us now, we feel the message is a complete lack of care for its workers.
What do you think the effect of the partial strike has been? Have you seen any change in public opinion?
We've definitely seen a change. I mean, first we started with, I suppose, what you might call a fairly low-level action where people were refusing to wear their uniforms. And so they've got some high-visibility vests to wear if they're at an accident, but they're not wearing their traditional St John uniform. And so we've had a lot of inquiries, a lot of discussions with the public around why they're not dressed in their usual work attire. And then we've been stepping it up. So now St John workers refuse to go off the frontline to your event, cricket or festivals. You won't see frontline staff at those events. They'll only be staffed by volunteers. We've got a strike action where we're not filling in all the information needed for billing. So at the moment, people aren't being billed if they call an ambulance in New Zealand, and we're increasing those actions. And this Saturday, in fact, we've got our what we call our graffiti action, where ambulance workers will be writing on vehicles some of the messages of the campaign so that we can engage with the public further.
Okay, so what would you say to those who might criticise ambulance professionals by saying if they don't like their job, maybe they should just find a different one?
Yeah, I think when you're training to be a paramedic, what you might have heard about the job and how the job looks, it's actually quite different to when you're in a job, like a lot of professions, I guess. And certainly there's people who've been in St. John that we're working with who've been there for 20 years, and the job is very different from 20 years ago as it is today. And in fact, 20 years ago, ambulance workers were paid for weekend and night work, and then that changed to be one wage. And over time, the low pay rises. It's non-existent now within their pay rate. So if you separated out night and weekend work now, you'd have people working on less than the minimum wage. I think on the whole, if you talk to an ambulance professional, they're utterly dedicated to their job. They utterly believe in their job. They love their work, as difficult as it is, but they're just feeling now they can't survive. They literally can't survive on the money that they get.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the additional measures that protesting ambulance professionals will be bringing out on February 9th?
We're going to have some changes that will affect their patient transfer service. So normally St. John might multi-load patients, take them to and from hospital. And one of the actions that we're going to be starting this weekend is we're only going to take one patient at a time to and from hospital and their home or their rest home or their appointment. And the big one this weekend is starting to write our campaign messages actually onto the trucks and onto the vehicles so that we get some more public support. And we've also got a petition to try and lobby the government and lobby St. John. So if you look on change.org or on our Ambulance First Facebook page, you'll see there's a petition there for people to sign so that we can have more voices to get heard.
What are ambulance professionals hoping to achieve through these additional measures?
I think we're trying to put more pressure, onto St. John. They don't seem to be responding to the things we've said so far over the table. We think it's the Priory Trust. They don't want to engage with us, the Priory Trust, and we think that they're holding the purse strings. St. John say they don't have money, but we know they do have money in other accounts. We know they have money in their area committees, for example. They've asked to work with us. Well, we asked to work with them to do a workforce review and look at the job and the scope of the job, and they've always refused. And they've asked to work with us now on it, but only if we accept a 2.5% pay deal. They've asked to work with us on a bid for the government, which we've been asking for. They've agreed to work with us on a joint bid to the government, but only if we accept their 2.5% deal. They're going to have a meeting with the Minister of Health. We've been asking to go jointly to the Minister of Health, and they've said yes, that we can go with them, only if we accept their 2.5% deal. And the 2.5% is not backdated, so the collective agreement negotiations sort of started last June, but because St. John asked us to delay them, we didn't start them until September, and now they're refusing to back pay until the start of the contract. In fact, as we progress with them, their offers are getting worse, not better.
Protesting ambulance professionals have released an open letter to the public. What role do you think the public can play in the ambulance professionals' protest?
They can sign our petition, which, as I said, is on change.org. It's also on our Facebook professionals, Ambulance Professionals First Facebook page. They can write to St. John. They can ring St. John. They can contact the health minister, support our claims for more funding. They can give messages of support to ambulance workers themselves when they see them out on the road and at jobs and at the hospital.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.